They just like disappear like cockroaches when the lights come on, right? And so I'm thinking, how am I going to get some illustrations about some of the major stuff I want to share with the church? And then I come home from work a little bit early, and bada boom, bada bing, I've got two new people sitting at my table waiting to be used as an illustration. This is phenomenal. God is great and fantastic with that. How? Let's see. Open up to Psalm 145. Open up to Psalm 145. And, you know, Psalm 145 has some of the great and amazing characteristics of God that are being shared. And it's really easy when you see these huge things of God being shared, it's easy to lose the practical application of them, right? How do we appreciate these tremendous truths without just letting them pass by like a stone that's skipping on the water? You know, God reveals himself to us so that he can reveal himself to others, including the powers and principalities as he's at work in and through us. How we respond to God's revelation is therefore never secret, right? It ripples through the fabric of who we are and how we behave. When God's revealing himself to us, how we respond to that has an impact on everything around us and has an impact on the heavenlies as God makes himself known with his manifold wisdom working through his people. Psalm 145 is one of those awesome, awe-filled moments that David has of our awesome God. Listen to how he starts off this psalm in the very beginning. Great is the Lord, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, I will lift you up, my God and my King. Bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. David says, the Lord is great. He's my God. He's my King. I'll sing praise. I'll extol him. I'll bless him. And I'll praise him for all of eternity. Now, how can David even make that unless he has the faith to know that God's going to give him eternal life, that he can praise him for all of eternity? We have that same promise today, don't we? But what good is eternal life apart from God? What good is eternal life if God is limited by time? The greater truth is that God is from everlasting to everlasting. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. During every age of every people, God has always been. The same God who sees the beginning from the end. The same God who never changes. The everlasting God of all generations. Now, one of the many swirling truths and topics about God in this passage, I'm going to try and focus on just this one of the everlasting God. There's a lot in here, but I want to focus on just this one of the everlasting God of the generations. And I'm hoping that you're going to have your mind stretched a little bit as you consider the everlasting God, and that you'll have your heart convicted as you seek to apply that truth. So the title of this message, The Everlasting God of All Generations. All right, so here's the first practical example of how many generations we have here today. And I warned Janine and Aaron that I was going to ask these three generations to stand up to give us an example of generations. If you could just see that. Come on, Aaron. Kids, here we go. And how many generations do you see here?
Three. Wrong.
Sit down. There are many generations here. Oh, my goodness. What about the kids that aren't born yet? Oh, man. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But, right, but we want to look at generations. We want to see how God is the God of all the generations for today. Again, in the first four verses of Psalm 145, I will extol you. I'll lift you up, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. This is this generation. This is what we're doing now. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. You know, in the thousands of years since David first poured out his heart in these words, generation after generation has been declaring the mighty acts of God. They've been extolling God. They've been blessing God. They've been praising him in song because he is great and he's greatly to be praised and his greatness is unsearchable. Think about this. Generation after generation praising God through wars and famine and peacetime and prosperity, declaring his mighty acts through the Depression, through the Reformation, through the Revolution, God's people have continued to praise him. Now, some can say, well, we have so much tougher these days living it out in this generation. It's nothing like the generations before. And it's true. We have some challenges in this generation, right? There are more and more consequences of sharing the Word of God in a culture that's becoming increasingly hostile to the Word of God. Yes, there are lawsuits against preachers for what they're preaching. Yes, these things are going on. And I also remember that there was a guy named William Tyndale in his generation that if you were caught with a Bible in the English translation, you weren't just put in jail, you were put to death. And ultimately, Tyndale himself was put to death because of his translations of the Bible into the language of the people, into English. So yeah, each generation has its challenges, but God is the God of all the generations. It's a lot easier to wring our hands, right, with this rushing cesspool of today's culture overflowing around us. And we don't want to join in that chorus of the world around us where everybody says, well, where's God if all this stuff is happening? We need to stand against this tide. We need to stand firm. And we need to, the word David uses, we need to declare the greatness of our everlasting God, regardless of the consequences. Saw a funny little picture, you know, the King of England talking to Thomas Jefferson with the Declaration of Independence. He says, you know, just because you say you're free doesn't mean you're free. And Jefferson says, no, I didn't say we're free. I declared it. It's a difference. We don't just say that we praise God. We declare his greatness to those that are around us because it is true. Now, I just appreciate so much the desire that you guys have for what you're doing in Spain, right? We talk about these churches that are flickering, but we know that the gospel is going to go on from generation to generation, and God's going to work through them so that it can go on from generation to generation. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter how small things will be, God is still in charge. It's so encouraging to us to have you come here and share with us the passion he's given to you, not looking at all the things that are going on around you, against you, but looking at the one thing of God breaking his glory from generation to generation. That's how we declare his greatness, right? We declare the greatness of what he's doing in Spain this morning. This is amazing that we can even do that. That's what this generation does. This generation today, we declare the greatness of God. You know, I appreciate it, and Josue, I might get this wrong, but I think you shared with me that your father originally started this missionary journey, right? He went to Send International and said, okay, let's go ahead and do all this, and nothing happened. But then the next generation is now in Spain as God's faithfulness is going on. So as we look at how the everlasting God is working through each of the generations, we need to remember that every previous generation has carried on the word that we would even have it now. Because our God is an everlasting God. Our God is an everlasting God. Again, verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. That's what this generation is about doing. Now I want to take a little more granular look. Turn back to Psalm 78. I want to take a little more granular look at this topic, this concept of one generation commending your works to another. And again, we're looking at the everlasting God of this generation, but we're also looking at the everlasting God of the next generation. The next generation. And this is the fifth time you've heard it. Verse 4, one generation will commend your works to another and will declare your mighty acts. Now, I think about of all of the things that I declare to the next generation. I think of all the things that I declare to my children. And the mighty acts of the everlasting God isn't exactly on the top of the list of the things that I declare to my children, especially when they're misbehaving and treating each other, and especially when it's after bedtime and it's extremely noisy. But I have the most wonderful mighty act to declare to my children, the next generation, the same God who created the earth, the same God who rescued the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt, the same God sent his son to die for me, to save me, to conquer death and be raised from the grave. And children, this same offer of eternal life is before you today. The same things I heard from the generation before me, I'm instructed to share with the generation that's after me. Listen to these few verses in Psalm 78. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. things which we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation. What are these things that are going to be told or declared to the coming generation? The glorious deeds of the Lord, the might of the Lord, and the wonders that he's done. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach the children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We declare, so the next generation can declare to a generation that isn't even present yet. We declare the mighty acts of God, the glorious deeds of the Lord, his might, and the wonders that he's done, that the children yet unborn can arise and tell it to their children. Our great God, our everlasting God, he's the God of this generation, he's the God of the next generation, and should the Lord tarry, he's the God of the generation that's not yet born. Again, back to Psalm 145. And share that verse again to burn it into your brains. That verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Verse 5, this is talking about the next generation. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They, which is the past generation, shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. The past generation speaks of the might of your deeds, and I'm the one who declares your greatness. Verse number 7 changes it to they, the future generations, will pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your rightness. The everlasting God has a desire to spread his fame from one generation to the next. You know, I look at all the twisted changes in front of the next generation. I shudder at the onslaught that my children are going to face. The everlasting God, remember, the one who sees the beginning from the end, has created my children as the very ones who will be able to stand against the wickedness of their generation. Instead of declaring the great wickedness, the overflow of my heart should be to declare God's greatness. It really is all-encompassing. Look at the truths that pour forth the fame of the Lord. And look at all the times that this word all is used. Verse 8. And again, David's just kind of overflowing with this stuff, right? Talking about the fame of the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, not some, not most. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. His mercy is over all that he's made. What has God made? God's made everything. His mercy is over all that he's made. You need to take that personally. You're part of all that he's made. God's mercy is over you. Verse 10, all your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Very all-encompassing. They, all of them, shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The everlasting God, he's the God of this generation, he's the God of the next generation, but finally, he's the God of each generation that is to come. These eternal truths, they're realized, they're appropriated by each and every single generation. Every single generation needs to have their own intimate relationship with the Lord. Children, it's not your parents' faith, it's not your grandparents' faith, it's your own personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that needs to be growing and passionately growing every single day. The everlasting God is the God of each generation. You know, I just love how David, when he starts sharing these next verses as we go into this, he's almost running over himself to share the greatness of God. And it's almost, you know, whenever a kid does something really, really good, they come to you like, hey, Dad, and this, and this, and this, and that, and that. This is what I see David doing. He can't contain himself with all the excitement he has about the greatness of God. This is what we declare. And again, look at all of the alls, all of the alls. These are all encompassing, right? Verse 13, your kingdom, it's an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion, it endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words. and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. What a great encouragement from generation to generation, from age to age. The Lord is still the same. He's still doing the same things that David is declaring we can declare now. They can still be declared in the next generation. He's not fickle. He's not capricious. And everything he does is done according to his immutable character. This brings us to the end of the point with this. Verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Isn't that promise fulfilled at the end of all generations in Revelation? Revelation 4, right? Day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Our great God, our everlasting God. Last scripture I want to share with you is just how Moses expresses the same thing in Psalm 90. Let me just read to you a few verses from that. He says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. In all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, before you'd even formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And then he goes on in verse 12 of Psalm 90 with the practical application of this. Because we understand the everlasting God, because he reveals that to us, our practical application, he says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. You know, because we understand that God is everlasting from beginning to end, because we understand the magnitude of that, we know that our days are not everlasting. We're going to be with him for eternity, but our days on this earth are not everlasting. We need to number our days, understand our days, use our days, invest our days in the way we're supposed to invest them. I like that example of the carpenter's belt that Josue shared, right? Whatever tools God's given you, as long as you're breathing, you need to put those to use. You need to put those to full use for what's going on. You know, at the beginning of the service, we shared some activities that are going on. You know, Briggs Park by the hospital is going to have this child evangelism club there for the week after next. It's an activity, and we look at it on a calendar and say, can I do that activity? Really, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Has God given you a tool to be able to minister and use to reach out to the kids in Attleboro, the ones that won't make it inside these four walls in front of us? It's an opportunity that's in front of us. You know, we look at the sharing God's glory of what's going on over in Spain. Being involved with any of the missionaries we're supporting is a great opportunity for us to be looking at that. And to be honest, as we look at having our next ministry leaders meeting, we need to figure out what's going to go on in the fall season. And when fall starts, we're going to have this thing called Adult Sunday School. Who's going to teach it? Who's going to teach Adult Sunday School? Is it time for one generation to come into the next, even in our church in here? Again, there's a practical application to this. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And hopefully that sits in your heads through this. I think I told someone early on that this would probably be the shortest sermon I've ever given and one of the longest topics ever. So with that, I'm going to close out in prayer and let Doug come up and take us out in our final song today. Father, I thank you that we can just put our toes into your word and be amazed at how you